This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will absolutely get back into our regularly scheduled 5 o'clock hour here. The Commanders are taking on the Panthers on Sunday. This is the most confident as a fan base, it feels like, that we have been in a long, long time. Is that still nerve-wracking, or are they past the point of you being worried about that because they're just good? That's something we want to sink our teeth into here on Grant and Danny. But we have an opportunity to react to what is some huge breaking news. One of the most successful and popular college basketball coaches in America, who just so happens to call Charlottesville home and is in our backyard, a guy that we've had on the show a couple of times over the years, Tony Bennett, is retiring from the University of Virginia. And it's pretty sudden and stunning, and nobody really knows why. He will do a press conference tomorrow. I think the immediate assumption is that, like so many other coaches that stepped down in sports over the last couple of years, Nick Saban, Jay Wright, among some of the legends,
yep,
that he's just not having as much fun, that this player empowerment, player entitlement, player movement, players getting paid, players holding out, essentially, and telling you they want more money, that it's not as fun. You know, that they don't want to continue to do this, and so the assumption is maybe he just doesn't want to keep playing the game. But I think we have to, let's just say, assume that that is the case for our conversation. Because we could find out tomorrow.
So let's say it's not, but even still, there's a greater pulse at work here, right? I mean, even if Tony Bennett's reasons are totally different, that's still a phenomenon. And it kind of his walking away, when he's still got plenty of years to be a really good college basketball coach, kind of helps open the window to that conversation.
And Danny, I'm hedging because, like, tomorrow he could come out and we could find out.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It's health, it's medical, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know.
Right.
So I'm leading with we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of smart people speculating right now that are plugged in on college sports and UVA, and they also don't know and haven't heard anything else. And until they do, I think the assumption is put another one on the pile as far as these great coaches who said, not for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's a conversation to be had there. It doesn't even have to be about UVA. In fact, it probably shouldn't be about UVA. It's about college sports. And this is happening very fast.
So this is always very complicated, and everybody for so many years had a very simple battering ram that they wanted to hit the castle wall with or yell at the NCAA. You want to yell at the NCAA, I'll stand there with you. Let's pick a topic, I'll yell at them about something. They were the worst, continue to be the worst. But it was basically, pay the players, pay the players, pay the players. Okay, once we've gotten here, you now have this chaotic environment where there's no governing body, there's no CBA, there's no real set of rules. And what was supposed to be, you know, Grant, my backup point guard, you're my backup on my team, by the way, Grant. I mean, you got a chance to start next year if you stay around. My backup point guard, Grant, was supposed to be able to go work at the car wash for you know, $25 an hour to have a little extra spending money, is now basically a big legal slush fund where you have to recruit your own guys and treat it like you're a football general manager. Now, that's one side. The other side is I have very little sympathy in a lot of ways for college coaches where the whole setup for so many years was so slanted towards them and what they were allowed to do, what players weren't, that, again, it's kind of like deal with it to a degree, right? Where you could gray shirt guys. Scholarships weren't necessarily guaranteed for 4 years. You could just cut guys because they didn't like the way they looked at you. You could leave in the middle of your contract, whereas if I wanted to go transfer to another school, I had to sit out for a year. All sorts of stuff was punishing players and rewarding coaches to make it easier for them. So the pendulum has swung back so violently in the other direction. We're dealing with chaos. And I guess everyone's cool with that, but to me, college sports is less entertaining and worse because of what's happened here. Even if it's justice, even if it's the right thing to empower players and help them, it's not more fun to watch.
Yeah, NIL is a no-brainer, for the record. I do believe that. But what you have seen with the lack of regulation on paying players with the teams, and if you haven't watched the documentary yet on LSU and their collective,
I need to.
It's stunningly eye-opening, but it's an amazingly well-done documentary. You should check it out. But players go back to the teams when they don't like the deal or something. Mm-hmm. It's like free agency where you just brought in someone else that makes this. All right, never mind. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me more. And we actually had a college football coach basically come out at a press conference and say, we're closing business down. No more negotiating. Because if a guy has a big game or whatever, someone comes back for more money and says, if not, I'll leave. You just can't tell me. I think people have their mind made up that no matter what happens, this is still the right way to go because players needed more influence, power to be paid. And all of that is true, but it doesn't mean you could just do it with no ramifications, right? Mm-hmm. And I think people are going, whatever bad is coming from this, so be it. And I'm not a so be it guy. I'm a, is this working or not? Because I agree with you. You should be able to make money off of your name, image, and your likeness, and your jersey should be sold, and you should get money based on that. But that doesn't mean the rest of it is good for anybody. This was Patrick Stevens just a few minutes ago, covers college basketball for the Washington Post.
I certainly didn't think it was necessarily going to happen on October 17th or something like that. But I think as you've seen over the years, a number of coaches, call it quits in this era, whether, Jay Wright's a guy that comes to mind. You think about Bob Stoops in football, where these guys have a lot of money in the bank, presumably, certainly should. And the world of college sports has changed a ton over the last 5 years or so. And so if you don't necessarily have to deal with it and you don't want to, well, it's not like previous generations where you're still trying to, you got to make that big salary. I mean, he's already made plenty of money and, I think his legacy is pretty well cemented, not just for what he did at Virginia, but at Washington State before that. So
that was a few minutes ago right here on the Fan. Let's go to Ian, who wanted to hop in Vienna. What's up, Ian? How are you?
Fantastic discussion. I have a lot of thoughts on this. So, Danny, like you, I played varsity sports at a Power 5 level. I played tennis at Northwestern, and I agree with you. For so long, the dynamic was so tilted in a way that it was, forget a democracy, it was a true dictatorship. Mm-hmm. And I saw it firsthand in good and bad ways. You see coaches that feel the parents are getting too involved or the player's not happy. Well, that scholarship just vanishes. And for most people at a private school, that means you're out of there. And that was really disappointing to see. The flip side, and this is where I agree with you a little bit, Grant, is that it's tilted so far the other way that now there's no corrective balance. And I think like with any rapid change, whether it's political or athletic or anything, there will be a little bit of a market correction that comes within the next couple of years. You've already seen the tightening of the transfer window where a player can't transfer middle of the season. I think that's going to be an improvement. I think you'll see some more guardrails around it. But in terms of the holistic issue or the larger issue of these coaches aren't having fun, my goodness, how silly, because the Dabo Sweeneys of the world, the Nick Sabans, the coaches that kind of rule with the iron fist, be better. You have to figure out how to communicate with these players and build the concept of team and a brotherhood or something larger than yourself. Because if you're mad that these players have a chance to get more money, you sure weren't mad when another program called you with a chance to get more money. How often do we see a coach every offseason flirt with another program just to come and re-up their contract?
I totally agree with that last point. It's a great phone call, Ian. Thank you, buddy. There's a hypocrisy, unequivocally, with these coaches that have no problem taking their gig and leaving and who will expect players not to do the same. Although, generally, if you have a contract, you got to play out the contract until you don't because you can get out of it. But where I'll disagree with him is when he says, oh, you got to build your roster, you got to learn how to make the players happy or whatever. Who's done a better job of program building than Tony Bennett? Or than Dabo and Clemson as an example, that they want to do it their own way. What I would say is, the issue to me is not that those guys don't want to play the game. In a lot of cases, I don't know how many people listening have kids. Like, my kid yelled because he wanted to have ice cream for dinner last night. That was the big dispute, mm-hmm. right? Like, I want ice cream. We don't need ice cream for dinner. There are players that don't want to be coached, that don't want to be yelled at, that as soon as you coach them or do any of the things that you're trying to do to make them a better person, which used to matter in college sports, or more of a, you know, a good man or whatever it is, they don't want to hear that from you. They'll go play for somebody else. So I'm going to bench you and take away minutes because you need to learn this lesson. No, you won't, because I'm going to leave and go play somewhere else.
Super quick, Jeff Borzello, ESPN College Basketball Insider, just posted this quote that he got from Tony Bennett just last week. It was asked about, are you ever going to leave like Jay Wright did? Listen to this. And you get to choose if you want to be part of it or not. And when you feel it's time, like Jay did, like Coach K, maybe Saban, it's their choice. And you could sit here and complain and gripe, or you have a decision to make. Either you try to do it your way, or you get to make that decision. So I think Jay Wright probably foresaw the where this is going. It'll be better whenever there's regulations. Is that 3 to 5 years away? Who knows? But if it's not, those are decisions that every man has to make when it's his time.
Wow.
That sounds like a guy who doesn't like the way it's going.
That's pretty right? amazing. Let's bring on our buddy Chris Nockey, who, of course, is one of the voices synonymous with Maryland basketball. He himself, a coach at the collegiate level. Mr. Nockey, it has been too long. How are you?
I'm well, guys. But what a day. Holy
crazy.
God.
I got to tell you, with all due respect, I did not have talking to Chris Nockey in the office pool today. I was hoping you might text me or something, but I didn't think I would walk in and be like, we need Nockey, and we need him right now.
We got to get Nockey.
Yeah.
The red phone.
Well, I appreciate that. Use the bat phone for me. Seismic day in the sport. You know, he's built, as you were alluding to, Grant, I mean, you know, it's built a culture down there, and he's done it the right way. This doesn't happen. He didn't just walk into the office today. I wouldn't suspect that he walked into the office today and told his staff, fellas, I'm leaving. I've had enough. My guess is this has been coming over time. This allows him, I hope there's no health issue behind any of this, and it allows him to offer up a, you know, one-year audition for one of his assistant coaches, I would think, you know, to take over. But, man, a lot of the old lines, and they're not even that old, a lot of the lines of coaching stepping aside, it's crazy.
What do you make of like, the timing, though? I mean, why wouldn't you have done this? Like, how does this change? How did his opinion change 3 months ago to now, I guess I'm wondering?
Well, I think that one of the things you do is, he did a solid for one of his assistant coaches. One of those guys will be elevated. You allow a one-year audition for that guy, and I think that that may have played a small role in this. If you do this in May or June, there's a national search. You know, UVA is a brand name in the sport in college basketball now, and there's going to be a boatload of interest in that job, so that might have been a part of it. Tony's an up-and-up guy. He's one of the most honest guys that ever coached or played in the sport. He was an absolute killer for a guy as devout as he is and was. I mean, he was a real baller back in the day, and he's a gentleman. He does things the right way. This is stunning news.
Chris, try to quantify it for us. You've been around a minute and seen a lot of college hoops. Where Virginia was, right? I mean, thinking of the, no disrespect to these names, but the Pete Gillen, the Dave Leto years, etc. Like, there wasn't much happening down there. When they were frisky in the 90s, when it was, you know, the North Carolina-Duke wars, and, you know, you'd get a Wake Forest team would jump up and be really good. There were plenty of ACC powers. Virginia was always frisky, but never on that same level. There was a dry spell there, and they have a national championship and a bunch of one seeds. Like, it's unbelievable what he did.
And I know you meant to throw the Terps in there back in those glory days of the ACC. Yeah, mediocre is the word, and I know all those guys, and they're good men. It's a tough job. Charlottesville, it's not like, you know, bringing a kid to a big city or a big town. They also, the JPJ Center is a relatively new phenomenon, the building that they play in down there. They played in U-Haul, I think, for a long, long time. Wasn't mm-hmm. a great building. So, he made it relevant. And one of the lessons here, in terms of just the X's and O's part of it, it pays to be different. It pays to play like Syracuse, where you're the only team in America playing a 2-3 zone on every possession. It pays to play like UVA, which is, you know, pack line defense and, you know, grind out possessions. It's hard to prepare for teams like that. when you've got 2 days to do it in the middle of February. And he did a great job with that. Now, strangely enough, I read a quote from him last week where he swore that he was going to change the style this year and that they were going to be more up and down.
He just couldn't handle it, and they walked away.
Well, maybe he knew that the assistant had some ideas when he took over. They opened, by the way, November 6th against the Campbell Fighting Camels. So that is coming up.
The Camels.
In just the two weeks.
I think, Tony, to one of the points you guys were making, Grant, I think it was you. I think Tony is a guy who played the game and has coached a long time. I think Tony would be the first guy to tell you these guys deserve to be paid. That does not mean they deserve to be eligible immediately when they transfer. It does not mean that they deserve to be paid in an uncapped world, in a non-structured world where, where certain schools are able to pay 10 times more.
Naki, I don't get why this conversation has become this way, because you're so right about this. It's like this binary good-bad. Like, anyone who says anything other than everything that's happening is awesome is, like, evil toward the kids. Like, how dare you? The coaches are bad. The students are good. They deserve to be paid. And I'm just over here going, NIL's a good thing. I agree with NIL. Also, maybe let's not let guys hop from six programs in 6 years and go back to the school after game number one when they caught 11 balls to say they need more money.
And pro sports have salary caps, so the Yankees could probably spend a little bit more than, say, the Kansas City Royals, but we'd like them to be able to play games against each other and not have them be a joke. But that there's no governing rails here, Naki.
Well, there are three rails to this. You know, there's NIL, there's immediate transfer eligibility, and there is the complete castration of the NCAA. And the fact of the matter is there is no governing body. Where we are headed in the next 3 to 5 years is 100 schools breaking off, forming their own sort of situation, association. There will be some sort of governance there, whether it's a commissioner or czar or whatever. We're taking applications tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably where we're headed. And that's when there will be mechanisms put in place to sort of, I think, to get a hold of the NIL especially. But the toothpaste is out of the tube right now. I don't know how you get it back in. It's broken. And here's the other issue, guys. To me, the only reason why a lot of people will be following college basketball is not because they know the players. It's because they're gambling on the game. And there is no allegiance. You know, you don't feel, hey, that guy, he's been here 3 years. Boy, I hope he has a really great senior year. You're not doing 3-4 year planning anymore. This is 1 year at a time. Mm-hmm. You go to practices. I've been to practices around the area here, and I always have to say, give me a program. I don't recognize any of these guys from last year.
Chris, always great, man. Appreciate you joining us on short notice.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Thank you, buddy.
That's our buddy Chris Naki. Next time we chat with him, it'll be closer to college hoop season. We get the State of the Union on all the teams in the DMV. But one State of the Union changed a lot today. University of Virginia, sounds like Tony Bennett, effective immediately in a press conference at 11 a.m. tomorrow, is going to announce he will be retiring. And while we don't yet know why, the speculation is that he's decided that it's no longer something he wants to continue to do with the current state of college basketball. But we'll wait until tomorrow to get more details or pass them along as they come. Next, let's get back into the Commanders. They're getting ready to try to get to 5-2 against the Panthers. Is that little voice in the back of your head keeping you from getting overly confident? Or do you feel like Danny and I do, where this is shaping up to be a pretty productive week and a Sunday where the good guys are going to score a lot more points than the bad guys? This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the program. We're taking you up to 6:30, that's 1 hour from right now. In a half hour, our guy, the Birdman, flap those wings, boys and girls. Ian Eagle is on the show. That's my guy from CBS. He is on the call of the Commanders and the Panthers on Sunday.
Here we go.
We get the supposed CBS B team. I got a news flash for you.
That's the A team.
Eagle and Charles Davis. We're fired up for the start of the season and how the Commanders are playing. The sponsor of this show is as well, and they are ready to help you. Kondori and Murat will guide you through whatever's going on in your life. Probate administration process. They're going to bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate if need be. Schedule a free consultation with their probate estate planning attorneys now. KMLawyers.com. Tell them G&D sent you. That's KMLawyers.com. We've had this ongoing element of the show that's been kind of fun where we've talked about what the little voice in the back of our head is saying at times. Like right before week one, if you remember, we had these little voices that were going, what if they're actually good? What if Jaden Daniels is awesome? Before the Bengals game, my thought was the Heisman Trophy winner last year at LSU, every time he played a big night game, all he did was ball out. What if he just has this incredible game and they beat Cincinnati?
What if that's the thing?
What is the little voice in the back of your head saying now? As you're starting to believe they're good, they're going to pummel the Panthers, is it trying to talk you down a bit and calm you down and say, come on, this is a letdown spot. It's going to be an ugly win or it's going to be a close game. Maybe they'll lose. Or are you all systems go? Because I don't remember feeling this confident myself and just touching the people. I don't remember this much certainty that Washington was going to win a game in years and years and years.
What I'm hoping is the little voice, that's what we're calling it, because you know it. The little voice used to be the positive voice, right, where you know what was going to happen, but it was like, and it was British for some reason.
Maybe father for true, they could put off upsets. Even though they're big underdogs, maybe they could come through and make you happy one time.
You know, for so many years, that was the little voice. Now the little voice has been kind of annexed to the
British boy?
Yeah, to the kids' table. The little voice is at the kids' table, but it's still in the room. I want to banish him altogether. But now the little voice is saying, they haven't beat anybody any good. They just haven't. They've played two good teams, and they've lost both games. One non-competitive, the other, they weren't really a danger to win. They beat a couple of teams, eked out wins against the Giants and the Bengals, even though those performances were fun. Beat a couple dysfunctional teams that didn't know which way was up.
Do you buy what the little voice is selling?
I can hear it. So if I have to pick, I'm not agreeing with the little voice, but he's still in the room.
They beat the Giants by three. If not for the injured kicker, Graham Gano opening kickoff, maybe they lose. The Bengals felt like a really good win at the time, except that subsequently, the Bengals have lost to the Ravens. They've won two out of three, but they barely beat Carolina, and then they barely beat the Giants. To say they haven't really gotten their act together, I think, is an understatement still, right? I mean, it's not like the Bengals are really good. They're 2-4, and they took the Ravens to overtime, which was a really quality performance, but two wins in their last three, they could have lost to Carolina or New York, like two of the worst teams in the league.
And again, Washington, one of the most reliable kickers in the sport, misses a kick he makes 1,000 times out of 1,000, changes the way they have to go for two after each touchdown, even though I probably wouldn't, but that's just a side point. And that's the five-point difference in the game, is two failed two-point conversions and a missed field goal. They gave up a whole bunch of points in that game. So my point is, the Arizona win, that stands, because Arizona's bad and they killed them.
Okay, but everyone says they're bad, and maybe they are. I don't know. Their record's bad. They're 2-4. Arizona beat San Francisco.
They did.
Arizona didn't just beat the Rams. They crushed the Rams. How bad are they? I know they beat the Bills, but they had them on the ropes. They should have beaten them. They collapsed in week one. The Washington game is quite literally what we're talking about, where the Commanders just pummeled them. But they hung with Detroit neck and neck until the final minutes. Really, the only other game they've been blown out in
was at
Green Bay. And they're a different team in the 1 o'clock time zone pretty clearly. But I can't say the Cardinals are terrible when they have wins over the 49ers and a 30-point blowout win over the Rams under their belt.
You may be right. So the little voice is saying that's their best one, where they had some weird game plan where they were like, we're going to keep Kyler Murray in the pocket today. Thank you for doing that, by the way. Please do it again if we match up in the future. But they beat a dysfunctional Cleveland team. You know what I mean? The little voice is going, this is prime letdown stuff, because the four games were awesome, but are you sure they're not just four games where they played well?
We probably should have workshopped this before the segment, but little show meeting on air. Darius, I want Randy Orton's walkout song. I hear voices in my head. You know that song? And we could play that before each person tells us what the little voice is saying in the back of their head as a Commanders fan. So can you define, though, the little voice? Is it a negative voice?
It is now. Usually, it used to be the positive one.
So it is basically the contrarian voice.
Yes.
Like, when we were all sure this team at best would win 7 games, the little voice was saying,
they might do it.
But what if they win 11?
What if they win in spite of Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and Ron Rivera and Marty and Marty and the other Marty and all the Martys? What if they win?
And now that we all think they're pretty good,
mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels is the real deal, that little voice is saying, what if they catch up to the offense? What if they figure out what Cliff Kingsbury's doing?
Uh-huh. So I'm out here puffing my chest.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good. I go, they should be one of the biggest overdogs of the weekend. They should beat the pants off of Carolina. But the little voice has a seat. The little voice is at the table.
800-636-1067. I guess to me, and I don't buy the little voice, but the little voice is saying they are due for a regression. The little voice is saying they have not had a bad luck game yet. The botched snap that gets kicked into the linebacker's stomach, and now it's first and 10 at the 19-yard line for Carolina. They haven't had the kickoff return that's fumbled to start the second half in a tie game, and the Panthers are set up. They haven't had a game where, you know, they have 3 or 4 dropped passes and a ball just goes off of someone's hand. And after enough time, eventually, what you realize is good teams don't really have that happen. I expect those things, and I keep waiting on that game because I've seen it for my entire life because this team's never been good. But it doesn't have to be like that. Patriots fans don't have those games mm-hmm. during their 10-year run or whatever, their 15-year run. And so I keep going, that game's got to be coming. Not if they're good, maybe. Maybe they don't have that game. But that is what the little voice in the back of my head is saying, is they're due for a stinker. Because even in their losses, well, I should say their loss to Baltimore, since week one, so you're going on now almost 2 months, they have not really had a dud. Feels like maybe they're due. That's what the voice is saying. You got the song? Randy Orton coming out from gorilla position? Let's do this. Are you familiar with this, Danny?
No. What, give me a time period.
Current?
Oh, this is like right now?
The last 25 years.
Because
it's a silly song. Play it again. Listen to the first lyric. It's perfect for this. Just grab that part for the calls. Ready? The opening lyric is that he hears voices in his head. He's supposed to be like this weirdo, I don't know, like Venom Snake.
Is he doing like a Mankind bit? Like where he's a weirdo?
No, he's a little bit strange, but he more just RKOs people. I don't know. I know just enough about wrestling always to like give you a little bit, but nothing.
Yeah, and I have follow-ups, and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Is it as weird? Give me one more. Spectre of Witness.
He wears a Speedo and knee pads and nothing else.
Okay. On the, like, Al Snow was the weirdest.
No, he's not that.
Okay. You see what I'm saying? Like, how close do we get?
It's like, he's a troubled man. You don't know what's going on in that brain.
Okay.
It's Randy Orton. What is he up to? He's sadistic, you know? He wants to beat everyone up. And then he comes out and he like looks around confused. He's always like, and he's so confused because
he's very confused.
He hears voices in his head. I mean, that pops the crowd hard every time.
Is he going to get a pop?
Every time.
Randy Orton
pops
does?
The crowd. 800-636-1067. What is the little voice in the back of your head, that contrarian voice, telling you as we close in on Commanders Panthers? And are you willing to listen to it? Or is it time to slap that little voice out of the equation? G&D on the Fan. Ian Eagle will be on the call of Commanders Panthers on Sunday. He joins us coming up in 15 minutes right here on The Fan. Welcome back. Grant and Danny will take you up to 6:30. Caps hockey tonight. We're your flagship home for the Caps and the Nats. Tonight, we've got Virginia Tech football right here on The Fan. Excited to hear Topher time, Virginia Tech style. Toby Altizer working the scoreboard on that broadcast. But we've got the Caps on the family of networks. We've got Virginia Tech. What a great sports night it is. We'll get to the phones here in one moment. 800-636-1067. But Danny, we are talking about what that little tiny voice, the contrarian voice in the back of our head, which has always been there to just give that 5% chance that maybe everything's going to be okay and good. And it's now reversed because everyone's expecting good things. And we've seen this good team. And now the voice in the back of our head is not really wanting us to get fully confident or have a lot of fun yet.
Yeah, how sure are you? Are you sure they're really good? They've beaten four bad teams. Two of them aren't that impressive when you look back on it. Are you sure they're good? Isn't this a letdown week? Are you sure? That's kind of what the voice is telling me, and I can't banish him just yet.
That's the voice in Danny's head. The voice in my head is, what happens when defenses catch up just a little bit? What happens when the offense doesn't have a banner game? Can the defense bail them out? Have we seen anything to believe maybe that the defense can do that? Let's go to Harlan, who's in Winchester, on Grant and Danny. Harlan, how are you?
Hey, Grant and Danny, I love you guys, man.
Appreciate you, bud.
I got to tell you, I haven't been this excited about a Commanders season in so long, guys. I haven't been this excited since my ex-wife got hit by a semi-truck. You know what I'm saying? But one thing in the back of my...
I'm a Sydney Sweeney fan, too. I don't know where that was going, so I'll apologize in advance for cutting him off. I just didn't like where we were headed. It could have gone nowhere, but we shot out of a cannon with shtick. We're a little off topic with Sydney Sweeney as a cheerleader, and those aren't things necessarily that are bad to talk about. I just don't know where we were going next. That's all.
What, like, so if Sydney Sweeney played for the team, then that defense would be? No, I got nothing.
I'm not really sure.
Thank you, though.
Occasionally, you've got to use your spidey senses.
Were they tangling a little bit there?
Is someone playing a joke on us? Are they going to try to say something to, you know, that they can play for their buddies later? And the radar was going off just a little bit. Clary, did you have any spidey senses going at all?
So I will say he actually used the Sydney Sweeney line after he made his actual point. And by the way,
I'm not bothered by the Sydney Sweeney.
Of course. Yes. It started off where I was like, okay, like that's not
I think he said something about a car hitting his ex-wife.
Yeah, he never said that to me.
Again, it's not illegal. You're allowed to say things on the radio.
Yeah.
There was like a zing in there. Then there was a... I just didn't know where we were going, Dave.
I was lost a little bit.
I think I gave him a lot of confidence because his Sydney Sweeney line just popped me.
Well, it's a great line.
It was a great line. Oh, but so again, he answered the question at first.
So listen, Clary's taking the blame for the whole thing. You think you laughed so hard that he's like, I got to tell the guy.
So now he's like, killed.
I was actually giving Grant the sign being like, hey, get to this guy. Like, he's got a great line. But then
That was that guy.
Clary
answered a call and was like, go to one. Yeah. And I'm like, we got to go to break.
Yeah, we got to go to break.
So we could hear the Sydney Sweeney line.
Yeah, because it was great. Like, he was like, it's almost as if, like you know, when you had that voice in the back of your head, like, don't you wish Sydney Sweeney was a cheerleader? Like, why not? And I was just like, you know what? This guy's great. Like, he's got great confidence, great energy.
You want to go see him do a stand-up set.
Yeah, he's great.
I loved his energy. He was very complimentary.
Yes.
I'm a fan of his.
Yes, Harlan. Thank you.
If he wants to come out to one of our events and we can discuss all things Commanders or Sydney Sweeney, I would love to do that with him. He sounds like a fun guy. Maybe I jumped the gun. I will admit that possibly I was too aggressive.
Well, the thing is, better safe than, you know. We have been on the business end of some of those before.
Yes.
So when you're a little too confused, all of a sudden you get that rug pull. Next thing you know, that dump button gets worn out. Yada yada yada.
All the boxes got checked. Of like, is this person off topic?
Uh-huh.
Did they compliment you very quickly?
Have they gone down a winding road?
Right. Have they made a zing that didn't make sense to me? Like, then that always ends in disaster. Now, if he was circling back to a hell of a point, that was the okay.
And that's why Brian Robinson coming back against Carolina is going to work. Okay.
I just thought it was like a bunch of guys in the car, and they're like, let's just ruin these guys' segment. You know?
I dare you to work in the following four things. Yeah. A Mack truck, Sydney Sweeney.
I've never gotten that, by the way. Because you get dumped, no one ends up hearing it anyway, and you just wasted your own time. Not that he was doing anything wrong, but the people that actually do that.
Yeah.
We got people waiting. Let's go. Daryl Rockville, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, dude.
Chilling. What's that little voice in the back of your head telling you, getting ready for the Panthers?
See, this is that PTDSS going on is what's going on, fellas. We gotta beat that dude down, get him off our shoulder, and let's move forward. We try and get more competitive this year. We got a quarterback. We got a coaching staff. We got an owner. We got a GM. What else can go wrong?
See, we're aware of all those things.
Daryl's right.
No one's disputing. Daryl, what you just said, as my kid says, I think as young people say, facts.
Daryl's right.
That's factual information. No one's disputing that. But there's a voice, man.
Chris in Hyattsville just tweeted me. We're at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. He says, stop censoring the callers. Free Sidney Sweeney. It's hilarious.
That's a good bit.
I love Sidney Sweeney just as much as the next
guy. She's a great actress.
She is my favorite current actress. She should be in every film.
What are her favorite roles of yours?
I've got so many.
Name a couple.
Anyone But You.
Remember the role she played?
Yes, she played the girlfriend.
She played you, I guess?
Glenn Powell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a movie she was in.
Yep.
I loved her in that Spider-Girl remake thing.
Spider-Web.
Yes.
Spider. Madam Spider.
Yep, she was great in that.
Spider-Lady.
Is she in the film? Then mm-hmm. I love it. Uh-huh. There's a film called Voyeurs. You should check that one out.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there good acting in that?
She is the best.
Does she act really well in that?
In that movie.
Hmm.
She's also pretty good in Euphoria, I will say. Like Academy Award winning good.
Really?
If I could say
that. What do they give awards for? Never mind.
Let's go to Matt Stafford. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Matty.
Hey, White Lotus, right?
There you go.
Oh, I like
season
her in
one.
White Lotus.
She was acted so well in her.
She was very good in White Lotus.
The thing is, she's Roman Wilson's girl, and Steelers don't have cheerleaders, but if she was going to be a cheerleader, she'd be a Steelers cheerleader. But the voice in my head, can I get the music?
I hear voices. Let's go. What's the little
All
voice
right,
telling
the voice
you?
Is saying, the voice is really positive. And it's like, could Jaden Daniels really throw for 400 yards?
Oh,
what
wow.
if they unleash Ben Sinnott?
So this little voice in the back of his
He's
head.
He's got a positive voice
is
still?
A very positive voice on Grant and Danny. How about that? His voice is on top of all the other positivity.
Think about Just
Normally,
the fact that that's
the voice
possible.
Is supposed to be a contrarian.
Think about the fact that that's even possible. I know I'm overdoing this where it's like smelling the roses, but dude, we got roses for the first time in forever.
And his voice is giving him more roses.
Yes.
Let's go to Sean in Auburn, Alabama, home of Auburn,
Auburn.
The football team.
Mm-hmm.
Home of that
hey,
Auburn.
How are you?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, Sean?
So I got two things. First thing, the voice is still, this team is still too young to really show what it's doing. Or what's going to happen? And the second thing is, I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at it yet, but the injury list for the Panthers quite lengthy. Jadeveon Clowney's on it. Did not practice today.
We talked about that. Deontay mm-hmm. Johnson got carted down to the field to watch practice.
And that's all I got. But War Eagle.
I was going to say, can I say War Eagle to this guy? Really
what's appropriate there?
Did he say War Eagle?
He said War Eagle.
I thought he said no more War Eagle.
No, he said War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Yeah.
God, that's our first War Eagle ever.
We haven't had many.
Like, that's so cool.
We haven't had many.
We got a War Eagle. We've never gotten a Roll Damn Tide. Why can't we get a Roll Tide?
I mean, we had Phyllis on tape, but not like to us.
No, but we've never had an actual person call from Alabama and say Roll Tide.
Alabama's dynasty has just begun. Roll Tide.
I agree, Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
We've never gotten a War Eagle until right then. I'm fired up about that.
That's How dare you?
Such a big moment. I'm still reeling, too. I feel terrible about what I did to Harlan. I'm sorry, Harlan. I think I took you for I. You ever been arrested when you weren't supposed to be? I think that's kind of what happened.
No,
like he walked out of a bank with a mask on.
Yeah,
and it wasn't COVID time.
And a bag with a dollar sign on it.
He like to me. I looked at him. I said, "You are guilty." And I just threw him on the ground. I cuffed him. I threw him in the back of the car. It's like, dude, what's going on, man? I'm sorry, Harlan. It seems like everything was on the up and up with your call. And I thought you were up to some tomfoolery.
We thought there were shenanigans. Speaking of which, tomorrow, join us at Spanky Shenanigans with Leesburg. Come on, everyone. Having fun.
We'll be at Spanky Shenanigans in
We
Leesburg.
Will be tomorrow
Tell
for the show. That's where we're going to be to do the show tomorrow. It's in Leesburg right there on Market Street. It's going to be awesome. 2 to 6:30, your boys will be hanging out.
Where was Harlan from?
West Virginia.
Okay. So
Didn't get where specifically.
If you come to Leesburg tomorrow, I'll buy you something off the menu.
He was actually from Winchester, so it's not that far.
All right. Come on out.
It's not that close either.
I need to see your ID to make sure you're Harlan. I apologize, buddy. Ian Eagle joins us next. He's calling the game on Sunday. We're Grant and Danny.
Roll Tide!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.